From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. And coming up, we'll remember Maya Angelou, who died today at the age of 86.
But first, to President Obama's commencement speech to the cadets graduating from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, in which, as anticipated, the president offered a broad defense of his foreign policy. He said the U.S. remains the world's most indispensable nation and will continue to use force, but he argued for restraint before military action. He spoke very personally, saying the deaths of previous cadets he'd sent to Afghanistan as part of the surge haunted him, and he said this to the cadet sitting before him.
And I would betray my duty to you and to the country we love if I ever sent you into harm's way simply because I saw a problem somewhere in the world that needed to be fixed, or because I was worried about critics who think military intervention is the only way for America to avoid looking weak.
Jim Walsh is with the Security Studies Program at MIT. He's going to help us look at the president's remarks today. He joins us from the NPR studios in Washington. And Jim, those two lines jumped out at us. How about you?
Yes, I agree. I think as a whole, what the speech is trying to grapple with is, you know, America's role in the world. Everyone wants America to be a leader, but I don't think the American public wants us to constantly be engaged in wars, war after war after war, where we spend blood and treasure and eat away at sort of the fundamentals, the economic fundamentals that make leadership possible. And so he's trying to walk his way through that middle ground, which is in between isolationism and picking up the use of military force to try to solve every problem you have.
And there are a lot of people calling for him to do that in Africa, where there are missing girls. In Ukraine, he spoke about hotspots, including Ukraine, defended his decision not to take any direct military action there, argued for building international consensus, said that's worked to isolate Russia in the case of Ukraine, but he also talked about how that's worked with regard to Iran's nuclear program. Let's listen.
The odds of success are still long, and we reserve all options to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. But for the first time in a decade, we have a very real chance of achieving a breakthrough agreement, one that is more effective and durable than what we could have achieved through the use of force.
Jim Walsh, do you agree?
I do agree. I think we are the closest we've ever been, the closest in three decades, to having some big agreement with Iran that could go a long way to constraining that program, putting it on a different path. I agree that it was a better option than military force. I think if we had attacked the Iranians, and we may still, you know, if this thing falls apart, that might happen. But I'm pretty sure if we attack them, they'll respond by insisting on getting a nuclear weapon. So I think that is probably the best path. But stepping back, in all these examples, Ukraine, Iran, and others, you see the core themes in the speech are, we'll use military force if we have to, if there's a core interest being threatened. But on anything below that, below a core interest, we need to do it with other partners, with allies. We can't do it alone. And we should do it in the service of building a better international system that everyone benefits from, you know, in terms of human rights and human dignity. And you saw that in each of the examples that he cited in his speech.
Well, and we're also learning more about how these partnerships might be taking place. The New York Times reporting today about how U.S. forces are training other forces in other countries.
Yeah, we've done that for a long time. I saw the reports about AFRICOR or AFRICOM training more African partners to deal with terrorism there. Obviously, Boko Haram has been in the news. So that's been a constant of U.S. Policy for a long time, although, you know, sometimes we do it in new places or for the first time. I'll tell you one thing that caught my eye about the speech was the section on Syria, where he really is, of all the areas he mentioned, is the one where he's walking the tightest rope here. If you look at that paragraph, he doesn't start off by saying, I'm supporting the Syrian rebels. No. The paragraph starts off by saying, we're going to support other neighbors that are close to Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Turkey, and Iraq, and we're going to help them with their humanitarian issues, with the refugees or with the terrorists that are cropping up on their borders. Then he more gingerly wades into the issue of direct U.S. support for Syrian rebels, which has bedeviled his presidency since this conflict began more than 2 years ago.
So there's that. He has been highly criticized, his opponents feeling that the White House has been all over the place. Did he strengthen his argument that he has a foreign policy outline? Did he push back some of that criticism?
I think so. I don't think it's going to satisfy the critics, and many of the critics would not accept his recommendations. So many critics who would prefer that the U.S. use force, they would also prefer that the U.S. use force unilaterally and don't, you know, be bothered by the niceties of diplomacy or the U.N. Obama is clearly laying out a vision that is more based on alliances working together and supporting international law. And I think, that's a very potent argument. I think that's a very good case for him to make. But his critics certainly are not going to be satisfied by that.
And Jim Walsh, just very briefly, he said to these cadets sitting before him, they'd be the first graduating class that wouldn't be going to Iraq and Afghanistan. Can he keep that pledge that they won't, just very briefly?
I think so, yes. I mean, we're completely out of Iraq. I think we will be out of Afghanistan. That's a legacy issue for him. He's going to get it done on his watch over the next 2 years. It's something I think he's proud of having done. So I would bet on that one, yes.
Jim Walsh, international security expert with MIT Security Studies Program, on President Obama's outlining of his foreign policy today before cadets at West Point. Jim, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.